You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey guys, Richie here. This is Band Geek episode 8, which is part 2 of John Castellano, which is my dad. He was a little reserved in part 1, so he really lets loose in part 2. I was just about to ask him about his time with the Chambers Brothers. My father was the guitar player in the Chambers Brothers, I think from 71 to 72. And we kind of ended the episode there at that point last week. But this week, he goes into that story. We play more songs and he goes a little crazy. So that's all I'm going to say. If you're going to be in the Waukesha, Wisconsin area on Friday, July 18th, we are playing, that's Blue Oyster Cult, is playing the Waukesha County Fair with Eddie Money. And then on July 26th, which is a Saturday, we're playing in Columbus, Ohio at the Ohio State Fair with Foghat and Bachman Turner. So if you're around, check that out. Subscribe to Band Geek on riotcast.com. Follow me on Twitter at @Rich_Castellano. Friend me on Facebook. Send us requests, questions, whatever you want. Enjoy the show. The Chambers Brothers happen?
I started, you know, because, you know, I'm starting to rock and roll is changing, yada yada yada, and so I started playing weddings. My friend Heschel, this kid Heschel, great kid, and he says, you gotta make the money's in weddings, you gotta start doing weddings. So I got a mothball smelling tuxedo from the used tuxedo. It was shiny. The material was shiny. It must have been about 100 asses in that. With me, it was 101 asses. So, and I started playing weddings, and you know, it's I'm playing weddings and yada. I'm doing good. You know, I'm being farmed out all around, and I'm making money because, like, the other guys that were doing it were not real guys. There was only like 12 real, 18 rock and roll guys.
I want to interrupt you just for 1 second. Last time we had Danny Miranda on, we played a Barry White song, and I had to sing it, and it wasn't very good. Can we do a wedding song, a Barry White song, with you?
Well, which one? Because I don't remember the chords.
Do you know My First, My Last, My Everything?
Yeah, you know the music.
Sure.
Yeah. Who played bass on some of those weddings? All right, I want to hear what it's supposed to sound like really quick, the proper way. Ready?
How's it go?
My first. All right. Isn't it like?
I've heard people say too much of anything is no good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. For as many times as we've loved, shared love, and made love, I always wanted to get it on with you in a bathtub full of Jello. I wanted you to dress up like General Eisenhower. Put toy soldiers on my body and give them orders in German.
I can't believe it.
My first, my last, my everything. And the answer to my sun, my moon, I got a star, my kind of wonderful, that's what you are. I know there's only one like you. There's nowhere you'd ever be too. Rest in peace, Barry.
Yeah, that was better than my Barry White.
That was Larry White.
What?
No, that was very white.
Well, you sing pretty low.
Yeah.
Now, there's a song that you do that's become a staple of your current set, the non-wedding set, which is Rainy Night in Georgia by Brooke Benton, right?
Yeah.
Or Benson. No, Brooke. No.
Brooke Benton.
No, it's just by Benson. Robert.
No, just it's Benson. Brooke Benton.
Just Benson.
Okay, so now, this song.
You didn't let me finish the story about the Chambers Brothers.
What? Oh, sorry.
So well, I'm doing weddings.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
And I get a call from the Chambers Brothers, who my mother used to make clothing for. And they backed me. They once managed me in a band. And then it went the way of the Dodo Bird. And the band I was with went on to go on with Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix wound up managing them after I left the group. And they basically beat the Chambers Brothers out of the money they laid out. And they laid out about $40,000 in 1969 dollars.
Oh, God.
So there's a lot of money the Chambers Brothers put into them. And I went on my own. So I went back to weddings and I was getting married and all that stuff. And then one day while I'm doing weddings, I get a call. I'm actually at a wedding. I'm at the Manor East in Long Island. And I go, I just got a call from the Chambers Brothers. I have to leave. I'm going down tomorrow to join the band. And the guy there, the owner of the place, who used to be a bodyguard for Frank Sinatra, goes, what about my niece's wedding in like 8 months? I go, I'll be there. And I made it. I put that date aside. I wrote it in a book. And I showed up. They didn't need me. I told the guy I would be there, and I was there. But anyway, so I went down there, and it was a... we did a thing at the Pirates World in Florida.
Wait, how did you know them? Just from
I know them from Nana. Originally... The honest funny story about that was there was a guys down the block. They were the Bandel Brothers, and they used to have like a Big Daddy Gauntlet's rail dragster, and their father had they used to sharpen blades for like saws, big all kinds of saws, and they had money, and then they opened up a clothing store and had all this weird California type clothing, really hip clothing, like stage wear. So I seen a shirt in their store, and I said, Ma, I want to buy this shirt. You know, I'm like, 17, just playing guitar. I want to buy this shirt there. It's $50. She said, $50?
Still wouldn't say
$50. $50 never killed anybody. No. So she says, go get me some material. So I went down to the East Village, and I went to a fabric store and started picking up all these weird fabrics. And my mother would make me these, these Nehru-type jackets.
Wow.
And or they would tie around the waist. She'd call them kabuki things. You know, they look kind of Japanese.
Like
still.
Happy coats?
Yeah, but they were nice. And so I had, at that time, I had like a Afro type hair. So it was really wild out. And we sprayed it with gold spots, like little, like the planet, but
well,
like
with continents. Afro?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there's an Afro for African Americans, and there's a Jew fro for Jewish Americans. So what's an Italian fro called?
Wap fro.
Wap fro. Okay.
So I go down to the Electric Circus where the Chambers Brothers are playing. I don't know these guys from a hole in the wall. I go down to see them. I'm going to see this band. Everybody's talking about the Chambers Brothers. So I go down there. And they see me with my outfit that my mother made me, and she threw on some beads from like New Orleans, like I showed my tits to somebody. So, and Lester goes, man, where'd you get them clothes?
I think they called them threads.
I wasn't going to say that. I didn't want to date the conversation. But thank you for being a historian.
That's
mom. So we...
Say
so I gave my mother's phone number.
Wait, this is what they said to you.
Say, Jim, where'd you get them threads?
That's a bad outfit.
That's a bad outfit.
And I said, shut your mouth.
Oh my God, this is definitely a nerd show because that's a deep reference right there. But what movie is that from? Who can name that? Anybody? Say, Jim, that's a bad outfit.
Woo,
woo.
No, I'm gonna get nobody? You, sucker.
1978.
Oh,
come on.
Disgrace. Disgrace. Rape of the culture.
I don't know why you guys are on this show.
Superman.
Yes, there you go. Yay! Clark runs through the revolving door, comes out, and the pimp goes, hey, Jim, that's a bad outfit. And he goes, excuse me. Flies away.
Okay, so after Lester Chambers said that those very words to you.
I gave him my mother's phone number, and she started turning tricks with him. No. Sorry, Ma.
Sorry, Nana.
So they started to go to my mother's store getting their clothes, and one day they came by and I'm sitting in front of the store playing guitar.
So you go to the store, get a meatball sandwich
and clothing in the back,
clothing and a guitar.
Yeah. Right. So they wind up. They heard me playing guitar, and they at first they put me into a band that they were trying to put together. They had a choice of two acts. So they either got a bunch of the kids that used to hang out, like one of them was their cousin, and one was this one-armed bass player named Hawk, who was a very good bass player, but a manic depressive. He had one arm, and he would thump the bass with the one hand that he had. And the band could get nothing done. The band could get nothing done. And then I said, hey, you know, I can put a better band together in 2 days. And I said, put up or shut up. I brought in some hotshot ringers that I had, Teddy Grable and Paulie Lagner, rest in peace, and Davey Watson, and Gerard Kenny, great keyboard player. So, and Roger from the Vagrants, the drummer from the Vagrants, and Davey Watkins. And we put the band together, and in like 2 days, we had enough songs to do a TV show. We were doing like Tutti Frutti and Dance to the Music. And they put us on a TV show that they were filming that just wound up staying in the can, never got aired. And then so that one ran its course, and that's the band that went to Jimi Hendrix. So now I'm back to weddings. I'm doing weddings. And I got a call at that wedding, and the guy says, "Want to join the Chambers Brothers?" So that's when I got to join the Chambers Brothers.
So you didn't have to audition because they already heard you play?
No, they heard me play. In fact, I was teaching Joe and Willie guitar, because as good as the musicians they were, they're natural musicians. But if you said, are you playing a G or a G minor, or are you playing a G or a C, they couldn't tell you the names of the chords. They didn't have the, you know, the schooling on it. So I was basically teaching what they already knew, but putting names to it.
You and white motherfucker. With your fancy chords.
they were very good to me. I went to that band, The Boy. I came out of that band, The Man.
You were with them for about, what, 2 years?
Two years. And then my daughter, Nicole, was born. And I felt funny because I was so wanting to be a father that I couldn't see myself being on the road any longer. You know, 2 years. After a while, you get look at the hotels and the planes, flights. And we were working a lot. You know, we were on the road for like 4 months at a time. And I really didn't want to do it. You know, I says, you know, I can make more money. I was making a lot of money with weddings rather than this.
What years were those?
That was 71, and parts of 71, parts of 72. So I might have been with them about 18 months. Mm.
Yeah. And then fast forward like 40 years. Now you're playing with Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, we actually did a tour with Blue Oyster Cult. And we did a tour where it was the Blue Oyster Cult opening. We were the second act. And then it was Alice Cooper with headlining. And we did about 3 to 5 dates in the South. And that was a weird venue because we were in the South. And I'm in an all-black group with white women are chasing them. You know, it wasn't the other way around. It was the white women chasing them. And the boys, the good old boys down South, didn't like that much. And I remember there was the only band. Here I'm wearing 5-inch heels to get up to the microphone. They're all 6'3", and I'm like 5'7", you know? So I'm wearing 5-inch heels so I can reach the microphone to sing harmony with them. And then I run to Blue Oyster Cult, and they're all like, you know, like Frodo and Gimli.
No comment, because I barely meet the height requirement to be in that band. Well, you know, what's funny is Donald has a really good memory for all that Buck. He has, like, he remembers every detail about every gig he's ever played. I don't. He'll remember when we come back to a venue, oh, this is the place with the gray couch in the dressing room. How do you remember this? But Eric doesn't remember a lot of stuff like that. But even Eric, when I told him, I said, you know, my dad, did you play with my dad? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, he was in the Chambers Brothers. He goes, wait, 5-inch platform heels, rainbow socks,
rainbow knee-high socks.
It's like that. He remembered that. he said, like, he goes, white guy, big fro, you know, 5-inch heels with platform clogs.
That could have been any guy in the 70s.
Yeah. No, but he said he was specific.
He's sick fuck.
No, but he said he remembered the rainbow socks that went up to your knees. You had rainbow socks up to your knees.
Yeah, but I didn't wear them all the gigs. You've probably seen the publicity photo, which is, you know.
So I want to play another song right now that we've pre-selected. Unfortunately, it's not a Chambers Brothers song. But this is the Brooke Benton song that I mentioned. And I was listening to this in the car today. And I know this is probably sacrilege, but, you know, Brooke Benton.
I sing it different.
Well, no, he kind of cheats that low note. He kind of like flirts with it. Like when you sing the song, you hit it like dead on. You know what I mean?
I hope I do it tonight.
Yeah. But, okay, the chords to this, we're doing Rainy Night in Georgia, a really nice song. We have D major 7th. Yeah. Right?
Do a G major 7th.
G. And that's basically That's basically the verse.
Although the beginning starts D major 7 to C major 7.
Oh yeah, D major 7 to C major 7th, which happens a few times a song.
It happens that a couple of times. But the body song, like, hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night.
And then we have the chorus, which goes to B minor, F sharp minor, right? B minor, F sharp minor, down to E minor. Do you go to the G there, or you just stay in the E minor? Or you go to the A, okay, to the D,
well,
E minor, AD.
Okay. When I'm singing, I don't pay attention.
And then the bridge goes C to D, you have C major 7th to D major 7th, which is kind of weird. And the melody that he sings over, how many times? That's like a weird note.
Yeah, yeah. I think I do it wrong, actually. But
that's why it's a weird note.
But then again, most of the songs that I do, you have to say, here's how my methodology began. I'm from the time of turntables. I'm on the road. You didn't have a turntable. So when you had to learn a song, it was basically, yeah, it goes something like this. And then you made the chords up. And you could be close, wrong, whatever. And then you just kept the arrangement.
Well, being a...
You didn't have every song on your iPod.
Yeah. But you know what? Being a school-educated music asshole snob that I am...
Kiss my ass.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, like, I used to get on my dad for saying, oh, you know, why do you learn all the songs, these weird changes? But then when you and I started doing the Red Lion and people would start screaming for a song that I never heard before, right? Or I heard once, you just go into it.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you never get to learning the right, real song. Exactly. And you've been doing it this fucked up way for months. And then that's the way you do the song. So I was like, this is where this came from. You're in a club. Someone says, can you do whatever? What? Can you play Wagon Wheel and you don't know it and you just come up with some chords and guess what? That ends up being the song.
Right.
No matter how far it is
and
from the original.
Everyone's drunk, so they don't know it's wrong.
If anybody knows what song... We've gone to the Red Lion so many times and people yell out, Wagon Wheel. We don't know what it means.
Yeah,
I refuse to learn that song.
Rock me, mama, like a sound... But whatever the words are, rock me, mama. Oh, mama, rock me. That's Wagon Wheel, right?
Is it?
Well, I guess one of us is in a Jersey Shore band and has to know that song.
Left you!
Cheap shot.
So there's one song that they did. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go... That might as well be an original song, because I heard that he wrote because I heard the original. I think after the first line, he wrote his own song after that. So, which is nothing wrong with it, but I feel like he did it one day and he had no reference, so he just did it.
Do you know what? That also happens a lot when you're accompanying people. Like I find I have to like learn songs really quick for a vocal lesson or something, and I don't want to sit there and waste a kid's time and like spend all this time like learning this arrangement and cutting into that lesson. I'm just like, I get the closest sounding chords, and I'm just like, well, that's how this song goes from now on.
I had a situation. Me and Joey were doing a two-piece band. It was Joey on bass and me on guitar, and the guy comes over. They must have been some dance students, and we're playing a party for the IRS, and then they pay me cash, which I thought this was funny. So these guys, they come over and they go, can you play a tango? Now, we're trying not to let them down. So I go, sure, go. That's how we played. Now we don't know. Now we got by it. We didn't have the drums that you had. We had to do it on the
right. You're just doing it.
You have an extra instrument here.
To do that.
You made it sound too convincing.
It's too good.
You ruined the joke, Andy. All
right, go again.
No. It's too late. Can't call it back. All right.
So, Rainy Night in Georgia. Do we do the bridge? No, we didn't do the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, we did. The bridge is just the bridge is C to D. Then it goes G, F sharp minor, E minor.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
Then it goes. That's what it does.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, G, F sharp.
I don't pay attention to what I'm saying.
All right, we'll be fine.
Ready?
All right.
Here we go.
Not too fast. Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place.
hard to spend the night. Heavy rain falling, I think I hear your voice calling all through the night. But it's a rainy night in Georgia. Such a rainy night in Georgia. I feel it raining all over the world. Ah, it's a raining all over the world.
Hey Phil, do some fills between his vocals.
Neon signs flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night.
Okay, that's nice though.
A distant moaning from a train seems to sing a sad refrain all through the night. It's a rainy night in Georgia. Such a rainy night in Georgia. I feel it's raining all over the world. It's a raining all over the world. How many times I wonder, it still comes out all the same. No matter how you think of it or you look at it, well, it's life and you just got to play the game. In a boxcar, I get my guitar just to pass some time. Late at night, it's hard to rest. I hold your picture to my chest. Now I feel fine. But it's a rainy night in Georgia. Baby, it's a rainy night in Georgia. I believe it's raining all over the world. Oh, it's a raining all over the world. I'm talking about a lonely night. A raining night, a raining night. Oh, it's raining, baby, all over the world. Ooh. It's a raining, baby, all over the world. Cause it's raining all over the world.
Yeah! Killed it! Nailed it!
Nailed it.
A little squeaky there.
No, it's all right. Sorry, Phil. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
You did fine.
It's fine.
You did fine. We should do it a blues song.
I had no idea what to do in that.
Well, I want to talk about one more thing before we stop and do our last song.
Sure.
I want to throw my pick on the floor.
Okay. Dramatically.
And say stay.
This is Band Geek, and now a lot of people. Now, I feel very lucky to have such a cool dad. I mean, I know I have a cool dad. It's It's been, it's, I had a very fun childhood because of it. But one thing that not a lot of people know about my dad just from talking to him is that he is probably as hardcore of a gamer as you can get. No, I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, like, people say they're hardcore gamers, and they talk about it. Now, you don't consider yourself a hardcore gamer, but when people describe what they do, they're describing what you do. So, what's the first video game you ever played?
Oh, God. It started out like this. I get a computer, and there was a little thing. It was some type of castle game, and it was just a little X on the screen. And it would go, and it would go vertically, and it would go horizontally, and you'd hit a wall, and you'd have to go vertically or horizontally. And then you'd find the little space that would you could tap on and click on it, and then you'd find
what
a treasure.
What system was this, though?
This was like on a Commodore 128.
You gotta tell them the Nintendo story.
So this was like, you know, because I was you buy the rubber soldiers, little plastic soldiers, and whenever I would get sick, I'd take all the soldiers out and I'd make my legs be the terrain, and I'd sit the soldiers in. God forbid I'd move or get a cramp, all the men would die. So this was a perfect computer. So I was playing that, and then I played all these games. There was Lords of Zine, Clouds of Zine. There was Eye of the Beholder.
That's on Commodore 64.
Yeah, they were all, as the requirements are better, I got better computers.
And I remember the first console. We had an Atari 2600.
Yeah,
like everybody. And I remember we had all we had the good games like Pong, and I remember playing that with you. And we had the shitty games like the ET game and stuff like that.
That's the worst game in history.
Oh, it's so bad. But then I remember the first.
You're gonna say the story, aren't you?
No, I remember having. Like early like home computers, PCs. The cool thing was because of my dad's video game hobby, we always had new computers every few years, which was awesome. I mean, you couldn't really touch his computer because if God forbid you did something and
the one
didn't
thing I like to do,
yes, the one. But
hobby? Did you mean habit?
Yeah, I meant to say habit, but I switched it to hobby mid word because it sounded better. But. I remember my first, now he was always good at the games, and I wasn't, and when I was like 7 years old, it became like the time in your life where you want a console, and that year, 1987, two consoles were, 86 was the Nintendo Entertainment System, right?
Next year was Genesis.
Yeah, and then 87, which... Yeah, this was the 87 Christmas, and I asked for Sega Master System, which was a big mistake, because all my friends had Nintendo, which was way better, but I was like... You know, I was like Philip is now. Yeah, but the Sega Master System has the 16-bit graphics, or no, it was 8-bit. Has the 8-bit graphics?
Was it shit on you day?
It's always shit on me day. That's like a holiday.
He's your cousin. Don't shit on you.
I'm sorry.
He's my godson.
So Philip's like me. I was a douchebag first, and Philip's followed in my footsteps.
It's definitely shit on you day.
So
that's not being douchey. That's being well informed.
There's a difference.
As being frugal and well informed.
So I was, you know, I was used to playing like, you know, Contra, Castlevania, Mario, which were of a certain difficulty, you know, and they eased you into it. Like those old Nintendo games were great at easing you into the difficulty level, right? Then 1987 Christmas, my dad got me Sega Master System. I was so excited. I still have a picture of me in my Robin pajamas, right? opening it up like, ooh, with the look of
don't
just...
Don't laugh at him. I had the Batman pajamas.
I had Robin... No, because I wasn't old enough to be Batman.
Oh.
Logically, I had to be Robin. No, I'm Batman.
You were not thinking about that Batman. Well informed.
I am the knight. I am vengeance.
No, it's just because you had the mentality of a ward of the state.
Burt Ward.
So I got it, and... I was so excited. I had a little TV in my bedroom, and I set it up, and I come down, I think, 20 minutes later in tears, and Dad goes, what's the matter, Richie? I was like, it's too hard! I keep dying! You know? And he goes, all right, don't worry. Let's take a look. And it was beautiful Christmas memory, you know? Up until this point, it was a beautiful memory. Until things went south. So my father on Christmas Day comes to my room. Don't worry, son. We'll figure this out.
We don't want to wake up mommy neither. Yeah,
we'll figure this out. So he
sets. He we're both sitting in, like on the floor in my
it's
bedroom.
A samurai game,
right? We're playing the ninja game, yeah, right? Yeah.
The Ninja Gaiden.
It's a no. It's like Spy Hunter, like where it scrolls up on the screen, except it's way harder because there's like hundreds of level one, hundreds of guys throwing shurikens at you. You know what I mean? If you get hit once, you die. It's like now in video games, you can get hit. You need to get hit like 60 times right. before you die. Old school, one time, dead. You know, three lives, game over. Right, no, right. no saving, no nope. checkpoints. Yep. Like the kids whip, today. Whip, they, you know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, my father picks up the controller, plays it, wipes out immediately. I'm like, see, Dad, it's too hard. He goes, well, no. He goes, oh, you see, these guys throw the bows and arrows at you. So you got to jump over these guys, and you got to rush the guys with the swords, and the shurikens you can throw back at the guys. I'm like, oh. So all of a sudden, after like 15 minutes, he gets to level two. And also I start wiping the tears away. Oh, cool. Yeah, and he's like, okay, now, Richie, on this level, you know, these guys throw fire arrows at you, so you can't be standing near a tree. It's like, he's like telling me all the shit. I'm like, okay, level two's gone. Okay, now on level three, Richie, you know, what you want to do is there's water. You got to stay. I'm like, oh, okay, Dad, I got it. Okay, all right, thank you, goodbye. All right, so he goes, all right, you got it. So I play the game. I still am terrible at it. I suck. I die level one, but I'm tired of it. I go to bed. 2 o'clock in the morning that night, I'm sleeping. I hear this. Fuck. Fuck. Motherfucker. Shit. Your mother. And I wake up and I see my dad sitting cross-legged on the floor in front of my television like he's five, right? And I like wipe the sleep out of my eyes and I go like, Dad, what are you doing? And all of a sudden he dies. He hits me on the arm and goes, you made me die! So that's my Christmas story with my dad.
But I hit him all night. Every time I died, he was like, and he was laughing that he was getting hit. So that's like our.
Then years later, we actually ended up getting the Nintendo because we both realized that the Sega games were horrible and too hard. So I remember one night, he's playing in our kitchen. We had it. He's playing Gauntlet.
Red Warrior needs food. Yeah. Badly.
So he's playing Gauntlet. And it's like, you know, 10 o'clock, I go to bed at night, Dad. Wake up 8 o'clock the next morning, he's still in the same spot, no. Right? He's been playing for, what is that, 10 hours, right? And I go, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, I didn't wake up to go to school. It was a weekend. He had to go to work, right? He goes, listen, I got to go to work. Right now, I have 200 extra lives. I have 3 million gold because you can't beat Gauntlet. It just keeps looping and getting progressively harder. So he said, here, take the controller. You have to play until I get home from work. He goes, you can't die. I have too many potions, too many lives. It's impossible to die. All you have to do is sit here and play it and make sure mommy doesn't turn it off. That's what you have to do. So where some fathers are like, don't waste your freaking time playing video games. It's like, listen, I put a lot of hours into this thing. I need you to watch the Nintendo until I get home from work. So I played for like, you know, whatever it was, 6 hours till he came over from the store that night, and then he took over, and it was we just looped it like that. It was crazy. And then I think you had, then you kind of got away from console gaming. I think as soon as the Genesis came out and there was that third button, you said, that's it, too many buttons. Like after the controllers had more than two buttons, you said, I'm out, that's it. So then you went to PC, and I'm going to just
billion buttons.
I'm just going to tell embarrassing stories about instead of you talking, I'm going to tell stories about you the history of video games through my relationship with my father. Diablo. Okay.
Next story.
Was Diablo. That me or the game?
My father had the most incredible Diablo character I ever saw. Basically, he would walk on the screen and everything would die in a white flash. Sort of like Philip's current Diablo character in Diablo 3.
Oh my God.
But this is, I think, Diablo 1, just in the early days of Battle.net and getting online with people.
So true. I don't even move. I just press X and my guy just like stands still and like kills
him. He's hitting so fast, this guy stands still.
Phil and my dad, my cousin and my dad share a lot in common, just like I do with Philip's father. But they shared this when they play a game, they want to have the best shit and they want to not be untouchable and what's they want to angle their characters.
What's your point?
No point. It's just what it is. So I remember my dad playing Diablo, and I would now I played Diablo. I had like a level 3 character, and I had like my cloth armor and my wood sword, and I would get killed instantly. And then my dad, I'd watch him, and he had this. It was like gleaming white armor, right? And he would press a button, and like 5,000 arrows and swords would fly out of his body and just kill everything on the screen, right? So one day, my cousin,
I was there that day.
My cousin from Florida, Joey, comes over, and he's sitting there watching my dad play.
All right, let me pick it up from here.
Go ahead, Dad.
So this wasn't Diablo. It was another game I'm playing, but it was one of these that you couldn't save.
It was Diablo.
I think it was this later series. It was in the desert. I remember being in the desert. So I said, whatever you do, now I'm going to go to the movies now to pick me up and go into the movies. Whatever you do, don't have Joey touch the computer. I called Gail. I says, Gail, it was Cindy. Cindy, the sister, comes down.
It's my mother and my aunt.
I said, don't let Joey touch the computer. And now they're saying, they're getting annoyed that I'm calling my sister. Like, come here. I want you to say it to me. You're not going to let him touch it. And I made him repeat it. And I'm like, get out of here already. Get out. Go to the movies. Leave us alone. Go ahead. Get out of here. Get out of here. I go to the movies, I come back. My wife goes, Joey touched the computer.
And you remember on screen when 1,000 arrows came out of John's character? A thousand arrows came out of John.
The character got killed. The character is lost,
it's
and he cannot.
Permadeath in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote. I know what it was. It was Diablo 2, because you could be in the desert. Yeah. There was a desert level, and you were playing.
Hardcore mode?
Yeah, like nightmare mode.
Oh, wow.
Where you had all the best stuff, but the trade off was when you die once,
you're dead.
So Joey played it, and I remember this is the angriest I ever saw you, you know, about anything.
I'm
like,
kill him.
Even like if I said something inappropriate to my sister or my mom, like this made him angrier than that. And I remember him just, the work I put into this game, all the work.
You know how many hours? I said, I put 160 hours on this game, and he comes over, and I made this all repeated. What are you, all Chinese? Sorry to the Chinese people. What, you don't understand English? What the fuck is wrong with you? Now, this is my nephew. He's about 9 at the time. He's now almost 25 or 26. He still talks about it.
He's still scarred by this story.
What movie was it? I'm just curious what you left.
I don't remember.
What you left that game alone for.
So okay, now fast forward.
The Shining.
He stayed with the PC games, and then MMOs came out.
Oh, that was great.
And I got into MMOs first with Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, I love that game.
And that was everybody's first experience with the online game. Actually, Star Wars Galaxies is the reason I'm in Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
Because we got Eric Bloom on that game, and that's how we became friendly.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember it was kind of a rocky start for you with MMOs because you didn't really have all the... Because you came from games with basically one mouse click.
Yeah.
And then now you had a game where you had to use the entire keyboard.
Right.
You know, so that was a bit
I still only use one mouse click.
But so I remember Eric was playing the game with us and he used to laugh because... who saw the South Park Warcraft?
Yeah.
Basically, that scene where with... who was it? Stan? No, Randy
Leroy
Marsh and
Leroy Jenkins?
No. Randy and who was this? Who's Randy's son?
Stan.
Randy and Stan. Where it's like, I have the sword of 1,000 truths.
How do I hand it to you?
Give it to me. How do I trade things with? How do I give things to people? Right. That was my dad for about 8 months on Galaxies, and it'd be like, Rich, how do I do this?
Wait, you were playing down in the basement?
I was in the basement, and he was in the living room, and he was notorious for leaving his headset on all the time. He'd keep the button down, so all my friends would hear me running up the stairs. I told you! You just gotta hit, and I'm getting killed down in the basement. I told you! You hit C to bring up your character menu, and then everybody's hysterical laughing at us, right? After about a year of this, I got tired of it. I'm like, Dad, just... Spend like a half hour reading the manual and you'll know all the answers to these questions. So I'm in my studio playing. So one day with my friends and I patch in the reverb into my headset and I go, John, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm speaking to you through the Force.
What an asshole.
You will go to GameStop. There you will return the game because you have not read the manual and you don't understand how to play these types of games. And I said that with the reverb on, and everybody's crying. And he's just saying, you know. And then afterwards, he goes, you know, I don't like the way you talk to me. I said, no, that's not me. That's my character.
All right, so I take him and Damien. We're at that airport, the space station. And I says, let's have a battle, you and me.
And I this is in the game. This is not in real life, by the way.
And our friend Damien.
His ass. And then I kicked Damien's ass. And then they stopped playing. All of a sudden, okay. Later. We don't want
to
play anymore.
So here's what happened. He went from being the worst guy that no one wants to group with to the most insane, hardcore. Well, you know, I have my guy angled towards being a DPS tank with AoEs, and I have these potions, and I have this armor that you can only get by doing this quest 5 times
I
in remember, a row.
I did a group one night. I did a group, and I had bad asthma attacks, so I couldn't sleep. So I ran one group for 18 hours straight. So the guy comes on the next morning, right? He was like playing with me like 5-6 hours the night before, and you know, so he went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now it's like 11 o'clock the next morning. He goes, you still on?
Yeah, it's the same story with Gauntlet. You still playing?
I was farming. You know what I mean? You know what farming means? You get like this area, like if you kill enough of these guys, you're getting points, you're getting food, you're getting money, and I'm getting experience points. So it was like a great thing. I just stayed in this area just killing these things. I was trying to go for my Jedi trials.
Right, yeah, it's grinding.
Yeah, grinding. So let's very quickly... What are all the MMOs you've played? We both start with Galaxies.
I did Galaxies, Star Wars, then what do Republic. We do? Then I did World of Warcraft, which I hated.
Didn't we go straight to DDO after Galaxies?
No, we did EverQuest 2. Remember we did that for like a month?
Yeah, I hated that.
That was right before you met me.
The Old Republic I liked, but it was nice graphics, but it wasn't really challenging unless you were in a group, and if you got in a shitty group, the night was wasted.
Yeah, but the problem with the Old Republic is it was like a single player game for four people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was but I liked it, but once I reached the game's over.
Nothing to do.
So we got that. What did you play the DC game? No, you didn't.
No, I played
Star Trek.
I did a couple of them, but the one I did with most was for about 7 years now. I've been playing DDO.
Right. Now, how many characters do you have on that?
I have 10 characters. I had all 10 capped. Now I have not a
now. If to the person who's listening to this and doesn't know what that means, to cap a character means you've gotten to the highest possible level, and it takes about 100 hours per character. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, well, you know what? They also did not admit. There's guys that are a lot more intense than I am, because there's guys that they call...
I don't believe that.
They're called programmers.
They take one character, and they... I forget what the name they call them, like a completionist, and he has to do every role with it. In other words, he's got to be a thief, a cleric, a mage, a sorc, a wizard, a bard. He's got to do all of these different things, and he has to. And then you keep re-rolling. You go back to zero, start again. Back to zero, start again. And you cap back to zero. And it's like this now. And every time you start your character again, you get 2 more points to distribute amongst.
Oh,
your skills.
So they do that, and then they're completely above everybody.
Yeah,
at that point.
And these guys all along the way, they know how to farm a certain area for certain crafting materials.
Oh, so they're doing the whole thing. Yeah,
and you can't fight these guys.
Yeah.
You go into a bar for a fight with them, do a PvP, and they murder you. So right now, I'm back to like where I was almost starting again, and I'm starting to get my characters good, and I can do a lot of my quests on elite hards and some elite...
What time do you start playing generally every night?
I'll usually go on around 8:30.
And when do you stop?
Around 5:30 in the morning.
The greatest thing is that I can see your computer from my downstairs area. So I'll be walking around at like 1 in the morning, and I look out the door, and I just see you playing.
It's a good thing you can't see your computer.
yeah, you don't want to do that.
Well, we used to live, Richie and I used to live in the apartment in John's house, and what would happen is he would be playing video games, and like very rarely, because we were all in the same, these late night schedules, musician schedules, so very rarely would we have to wake up early. So when we did have to wake up early, it was horrible. It was like a very horrible experience for everybody involved. So we'd be sitting there, and the wall would be shaking between, because his, our bedroom, the wall, there's a guitar room, and then there's the TV right next to the guitar room on the other side of the wall. So the wall would be shaking at 3 a.m. because the TV's blasting, because John's got his headset on and he's playing the game till 5:30 a.m. and blasting action movies while he's doing that. But he can't realize it's so loud because his headphones are on.
That's why you now have your own house, so we help you get it. Because I was trying to get you out of the apartment.
I play my games. I do what I want.
Yeah, but who are you going to go to for snacks at 2 in the morning anymore?
I'm getting a phone call at 3 in the morning.
Got any Twizzlers?
We would get that knock on the door.
We would get the quietest little knock. It would just be like, like, did you hear something?
No.
It's scratch.
You're right.
Like a kid who had a bad dream.
No, it would go like this. It would go like this. Wait. It was like a crescendo, and he'd start because, oh, I don't want to wake anybody up. Ah, fuck him, I want some cookies. They would turn the bagging,
and then the door would creak open and go,
he's got Chassy Bow.
Snacks? You miss me living there. All right, well, we're I think we have enough for two podcasts here easily, and not only two podcasts, but two amazing podcasts. Because this has been really awesome.
We didn't even talk about John Castellano's television game show.
So I know, you know, I was going to get to that.
I would, if you don't mind, Dad, hopefully we'll keep this going. Would you come on again and do more songs and talk about that?
Sure, but you know, you got to talk to my agent.
Yeah, okay. I'll call Mom. let's do, we're going to do one more. And now, you're obviously a phenomenal singer, as people have heard, but you can also play guitar really well, and we're going to let you tear it up a little bit right now. We're going to do the letter...
That's not really a tear it up song, but I'll do what I can.
Would you rather play a different song?
I'd rather get Little Philly to play a little bit.
Right, well, he's got his harmonica.
I don't know. Let's see what we can get on this. I want to get him to play.
You can play on this song, right? The harmonica?
Yeah, sure.
It's a G?
Yeah, sure. All right. This is the G?
Yeah.
It's A minor.
Oh, A? I'm sorry. I thought it was in G. I can't play this song now. We're going to do the Joe Cocker version.
Well, a version sort of along that line.
We're going to do the John Castellano version of the letter.
And my D doesn't work.
What?
That's what she said.
My D is broken.
Your D is...
That's what he said, though.
Take a pill.
Say, Jim.
I need that D.
This is broken.
Phil wants the D.
All right, so, sorry, Phil. Right.
You know, too bad your uncle doesn't... Oh, he does own a music store.
And he gave me a broken harmonica.
Notice the operative word, give.
All right.
This needs a keyboard player in it.
Well, you know what, Andy, what we do at this show is Andy and I, after the show's done, we go back and put all this, we clone ourselves. It's the dream, Andy. You know how we said that when we were in high school? If we can only find another Andy and another Richie, we can have a great band. Now we can do it through the magic of Rewind.
I'll play some keyboards later.
Okay.
And I'll sing let him play the keyboards?
I'll sing some Michael McDonald background vocals.
Run like the wind.
By the way, this guitar through the headset sounds like ass.
It sounds good. I'm going to mix this and EQ it and stuff. Well, you know what? You're peeking. Hold on.
Oh, now I can't hear it.
Yeah.
You might want to drop my mic a little bit because I'm going to sing a little harder this time.
Okay. Try it?
Yeah. Good.
Try the guitar. Can you hear it again? Is that okay?
Put it up.
Yeah.
Good? All right, here we go.
Give me a ticket for an airplane. Ain't got time to take no fast train. All the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how much I gotta spend. She wrote me a letter. Well, she wrote me a letter. Said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see? I gotta get back to my baby once more. Anyway, I don't care how much I gotta spend.
check on his bed. Gonna get back on to my baby. Baby, she wrote me a letter. Oh, my baby wrote me a letter.
My baby wrote me a letter.
Wrote me a letter.
My baby wrote me a letter.
She put it on Facebook.
My baby wrote me a
send me an email.
My baby wrote me a
send me a tweet.
My baby wrote me.
You had it on iCloud. Send it in a picture.
My baby
special D.
My baby won't be.
In a Tilly telegram.
My baby won't
be. She wrote me a letter.
My
take it, daddy.
Gentlemen, John Castellano, Dad, thank you so much for joining us today. This was
thanks for having me.
Way beyond anything I could have imagined. This was one of my favorite ones, if not my favorite one.
Hope it's usable.
Get out of here. It's amazing. And I won't even have to edit this one.
Please do.
I'd like to thank Jarrett Pressman for taking over the interviewing.
He didn't do anything.
I'd like to thank Richie Castellano for taking over the interview in the second half of the show.
Come on. I thought you did great.
He's very funny.
He is.
He talks, I laugh.
Yeah.
No, you do. Okay. You're funny.
Now I'm embarrassed. I'm just going to go overflow your toilet for fun.
I just
Phil Castellano didn't get to play today, but we'll have him back next time to play.
Right on.
If this Andy is like him. A Turkish bath, this place. Right?
Oh.
Andy Ascalise on drums.
Too many Turks.
Anne Marie Castellano helping us out on some background vocals
today. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Brandy Metaxas as our cheerleader and audience member.
And cameraman.
And camera woman.
Camera person.
Whoa, man.
And I'm Richie Castellano. Thank you so much for listening to the Band Geek Podcast.
Where
see
can
you
they
next
find
time.
You?
What?
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Richie Castellano on Facebook, @Rich_Castellano on Twitter, and RichieCastellano.com.